Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Tammy Strantz from Weatherford, Texas, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September the 1st, 2011, episode 219, which is sponsored by Horseshow.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for filling in for Jamie today. She's in between houses. She was moving. They've officially now moved into the new house, and the internet was supposed to be hooked up sometime today. But it's 6 o'clock there in the morning, and for some reason the internet guy didn't want to come out and hook it up at 6. So
that's okay, because I think you need a little more Western on this show anyway, Glenn. We're going Western for a day.
That's true. That's true. Well, we're so glad that you could join us today. I always have fun when I get to chat with you. Normally, I only get to hear you because I edit your shows for the Western Radio Show, and I just get to hear you and Alan having fun.
You know, I wonder what you hear, because I know Alan and I, we have a lot of fun on that show, and there's a lot of bloopers, so I'm never quite sure what you hear from me.
Well, fortunately for you, most of the bloopers contain words I can't put out as a blooper reel, so...
It's true to the Western lifestyle.
Fortunately, you're safe that way. Well, of course, Tammy is the host of the Western Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network. She also works for AXA, which is the American... That was your cue to finish it for me.
Competitive Trail Horse Association. AXA.
And we're going to be...
Whenever I say that, Glenn... Alan always says, bless me, because he thinks AXA sounds like a sneeze, you know? So every time I say AXA on the show, he's like, bless you. It's kind of our little running joke, but that's the American Competitive Trail Horse Association.
And we're going to be talking a little bit here with your boss, actually, and a little bit here about the TV show, which is coming up very soon. It's going to be airing, and we're going to get to find out who won the little contest. We're going to talk about that. But let's go to Jennifer, find out about the rest of the show, and then I need to talk to you about something I saw on your Facebook page yesterday.
Uh-oh. There's a lot on my Facebook page, Glenn.
Thanks for stealing my thunder, Glenn.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not letting you see the show notes before the show anymore. We're starting the show. You're going to do it blind, because you keep telling everybody about all the cool stuff on before I get to do my thing.
All right, so everybody forget what I just said. Jennifer, what's coming up today on the show?
Today on Horseshow.com, Thursday edition, we will be opening with the You Heard It Here First chat about the upcoming sure-to-be-a-hit TV series from the AXA folks, bless you, America's Favorite Trail Horse, and it's going to be pretty cool. It's got a lot of the elements that we're all used to seeing from reality elimination TV shows, but I'm sure there's going to be some interesting twists in it, and not to mention it's going to be chock-a-block full of horses and adorable cowboys and cowgirls, so I can't wait for that. And once we're finished with that and all out of breath, we are going to have Patricia Da Silva from Horse Junkies United stop by again this morning with a live report from the Land Rover Burley horse trials happening over there in Merry Old England. She's going to give us the what's going on the leaderboard, any new drama. I'm sure we'll hear a little bit about what the fashionable footwear is for the year, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, we're going to chat a lot about whatever Tammy is up to because she is our official You Did What? Person. Radio Network.
That's really funny. That's so true.
That is true. All right, let's do our Daily Winnies first. I actually have two Daily Winnies here. I know the show notes only say one, but I have a second one there, Tammy. My first one goes out to Sarah and Dave, our friends, on the birth of their son. He was born on Friday and a 7-pounder. So congratulations to Sarah and Dave on the birth of their son. They live here in Lexington, and we're very happy for them. And everybody's healthy and happy. I have a second Daily Winnie before you go, Tammy. The second Daily Winnie highlights my stupidity and ignorance for not wishing my brother a happy birthday back on the 27th, which was last week, and I missed his birthday totally on Saturday. So happy birthday, Wayne, and Wayne is of EasySignsOnline.com. So if I ever want to get a sign again, I had to do that today. So thank you very much, Wayne, for putting up with me being late again this year. Tammy, your turn.
You know, that's really funny you forgot. Well, it's not funny you forgot your brother's birthday, but that's my Winnie, Glenn. It's to my brother, Clinton Bradbury. He's in Western Australia. It is his birthday on the 7th of September, and he is the bestest brother in the entire world. So it's his birthday on September the 7th. So I just want to wish him a happy birthday because, unlike you, Glenn, I'm on track.
So is he's still in the old country then?
He is. He's got two children. He lives in Perth, and he's worked in the business field, and he is such a good man. I just love my brother. He's the most soft-hearted, kind-hearted, thoughtful, everything great brother.
Wow, well that's great. Now, they're coming out of their winter into their spring, or into their spring. Have they had a tough winter?
Oh, Glenn, don't get me started, because like, I get all mixed up with, like, what the season should be, because I got in track with the Australian ones, and then I come to Texas, and I kind of know what's going on in Texas, and now I'm just totally confused. So when someone asks me if it's hot or cold over there, I don't know anymore. It can be hot and it can be cold.
Sorry I asked that one. Hey, we want to give our best. I noticed one of our friends I follow on Facebook, her stepdad actually has a farm in Connecticut, and all of his crops were wiped out in the flooding. And she posted a picture of the fields completely underwater. So I want to give their best to them. And also, you guys, something we don't talk about here on the show too often, but Texas is in terrible shape right now. You guys haven't had rain forever.
What's rain, Glenn?
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time you actually saw a shower at your place?
We had one tiny little rain. It was probably a couple of weeks ago, but I actually went grocery shopping yesterday, which I know is a surprise in itself, Glenn, because people who listen to the Western show know what a terrible day is. I ran out of Diet Coke, and I had to go to the store. And there's firefighters everywhere. We've got the really bad fires around Possum Kingdom Lake just up from my house. So, I mean, the fires are terrible. And then I heard some friends talking the other day, and they're charging $175 for a round bale in Texas now.
Oh.
Yeah. It's normally $30 or $50, and now it's $175.
Wow.
So, isn't that crazy?
It's going to get real expensive to keep your horses down there, isn't it?
Yeah, it already has. But that's okay. Yeah. I love my horses.
Now, how many horses do you have on the farm?
Ooh, I have seven or eight horses. So I have two really good shooting horses, a couple lesson horses, and the rest, a few pasture ornaments.
Now, we have to clarify, so people that are just tuning in and are new listeners to the show may not know that when you say you have shooting horses,
that sounded bad, didn't it?
Yeah, you don't use them for target practice. She shoots off of them. Tammy is a world champion mounted shooter, so that's what she meant by that. They're knockdown range. they're actually upright. So just want to clarify.
Yes, they are. They are mounted shooting horses, and I go most weekends and find a competition somewhere. So it's a great sport, super exciting. And when we talk about that, Glenn, it reminds me of the show we done, well, probably a year ago now, where you used to call me the most dangerous woman in the world, and then I told you I was scared of the dark. So now I'm like the most dangerous woman in the world in the daylight.
Yeah, that's right.
That was funny. That was about a year ago we had that chat.
And Tammy, you know, has won many, 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 many championships. She has like 150 belt buckles on her wall, literally. And but yet she says she can't hit anything if she's shooting on the ground standing still. So
so as long as you keep me on the ground, everyone's safe.
So if you're looking at Robin, Tammy's place, do not do it while she's riding a horse. But if she's off the horse, you're good to go. You're all right.
Absolutely. It's about
hey,
how it works.
Hey, one other housekeeping issue before we get on with the show today is that this is the last day to get your really bad ads in before really bad ads tomorrow, really bad ads Friday. And we have a $50 gift certificate from thetackhouse.com. The Tack House is an online tack shop with a twist. They carry English, Western, and driving equipment, accessories, and gifts. But the site is designed to benefit the equestrian community, local and national, by allowing equine rescues, pony clubs, local horse shows, and other equine groups and associations can co-brand with them free of charge and fundraise for their activities or causes by selling products that are relevant to their group. And you can do all of that at thetackhouse.com, and we appreciate them donating the $50 gift certificate for the winner of Really Bad Ads this week. You can send your entries today. Get on Craigslist. Start finding those really bad ads for horse stuff.
Say, that would be a great place for bad ads.
So, you know, get your ads in right now. So that's the Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line. Tammy, I was on your Facebook page yesterday. And, you know, you have seven horses, and you have one very sweet dog named Ellie Mae, who's about 180 years old.
That's Ellie Mae Clampeth when she's bad, Glenn.
Okay. Which is, by the way, still the greatest name for a dog. And she kind of looks like Ellie Mae, an old version of Ellie Mae. She kind of does. She has that personality.
She's adorable. She's a little Shetland sheepdog and totally my BFF.
And she goes everywhere with you, goes to all these shooting competitions. It's completely deaf. Mm-hmm. Can't hear a thing anymore. But she's a sweetheart. But then yesterday, I see on your page a picture of another kind of strange-looking dog.
Yeah. You know, things just kind of wander up here, Glenn. I had a hound dog. I kind of got up in the morning, went out to feed the horses, and there is this. And I'm not really good with dog breeds, but it was like this coon hound-looking thing, and she had one eye that was white and one eye that was half white and half black, and she just didn't look like she had a clue what was going on, and she just ran laps everywhere. She would run and run and run, and, you know, I was kind of thinking I wanted a dog to go jogging with me on the trailways, and Ellie Mae's kind of, she's too smart and she's too old, you know, she'll kind of hang back about half mile.
I can't see Ellie Mae doing a 5 mile run. Let's put it that way.
No, Ellie Mae, she waits back about half a mile to a mile because she says, "You are going to turn around. If I hold back half a mile and you turn around, I've saved myself a full mile," you know? So she's a pretty smart little dog. So anyway, so I was kind of wanting a dog to go running with me. And then, lo and behold, up shows Trip. I called her Trip because, you know, she looks like she's on a trip, you know. Not that I know what that is, but anyway. So Trip's here, and I'm going to take her running and see how she goes. I think she's going to stay here for a while. She's a different-looking dog, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I thought the picture was great. And, Jennifer, if you could go ahead and put the picture of Trip. By the way, she does kind of look stoned.
Well, I didn't want to say that. And you know what? That's not me because I've never even really tried anything like that. But it just looked like that's what would happen to a person if they did, you know? So that's Trip. So I actually took her to a shoot. She was here 2 days Glenn, and I threw her in the horse trailer, and she wanted to go with me, so I took her to a shooting competition. And, you know, all my horses are well-behaved. Ellie Mae's everyone's very well-behaved around here because they have to be. And then I take Trip. And Trip, I let her loose, and she's running around the arena, running around the barn, and I call her. She doesn't know her name yet, you know, or she's deaf. You know? It made
so
me
she's
look
gonna
like
be hanging around with you anyway.
Hopefully she'll get a little more respectful, not make a fool out of me at the horse shows. But anyway, I didn't have the heart to part with her, and I didn't want to take her to the shelter or anything. So anyway, Trip's found a permanent home here in the barn.
Well, congratulations. I do have to ask you, when you're doing the shoot mounted shooting, do you put something in the horse's ears? Do you?
Yeah, that horses have plugs. And
yep.
They kind of look like, you know, those little cat play toys, the little cat balls, Glenn?
Yep, yep.
You kind of connect them with a piece of string and you tie it to the back of your bridle. So, because that way if they fall out, you don't have to get off your horse to put them back in.
gotcha. Okay, that's smart.
We put the little, they make ones specially for horses, but the cat balls work just fine. And you kind of put them in their ears. And the horses know that when they got the earplugs in, they're going to go shoot. So it kind of protects their hearing. And I don't wear earplugs, but my horse does.
So who cares if we protect your hearing?
Yeah, as long as we take care of Handsome, my best horse. So that's all that matters.
All right, we have our first guest on the line here, and I'm going to let you do the introductions. Looks like, by the way, we have Carrie with us this morning. So I'm going to let you do the introductions. Tell us a little bit about, for those that missed it, we've talked about it here on the show before, but it's been a while, what this TV series is and when it's starting, which is pretty soon, right? And I have Carrie ready on the line here.
Okay. Yeah, this is America's Favorite Trail Horse, which is part of the American Competitive Trail Horse Association, and it's a reality TV series that'll go over 13 weeks. We've done a lot of auditions and looked at over 1,000 horses, and we picked the top 100 to come to Texas for the finals, and they are going to battle it out on HRTV for $100,000 in cash. So it's going to be pretty exciting, Glenn.
Well, that sounds exciting. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for being with us today. Now, tell us, Carrie, was this a heck of a lot more work than you originally thought? Because you guys had never done a TV show before.
You know, it was so fun. It was really, really a lot of fun. And it was a lot of work. I mean, I had no idea how much went into the making of a TV show, for sure. Neither did my husband. But Tom is... He really rises to the occasion, you know, and I think he's found his true calling. I think he wants to be Steven Spielberg. He loves it. He loves the editing and the stuff like that, you know, to be part of that.
So, Carrie, one of the contestants was an alien. Is that what we're saying?
I was there. I'm an alien,
Glenn. I haven't even seen that movie. It was a tremendous amount. It was a tremendous effort, but it was very rewarding and very fun. Great fun to do.
So tell us, Carrie, and Carrie's the founder of ACTHA, but tell us a little bit what the horses had to do when they got to Austin.
Well, it was a 3-day competition. And the first day, they had a true trail ride. And the obstacles were, you know, natural. For the most part, they were all out on the trail at the Franklin Ranch. And they had to cross over what we call a rock bridge. They had to step up onto rocks and cross over the rock bridge. They had to cross true running water. March down a stream bed. So they had two natural trail obstacles. They were crossing deadfall and going down and up, you know, arroyos and hills and things like that. So they had to show their moxie really out on the trail. And, you know, horses act very different. You know, arena trail riding you know, when they do an arena competition, you know, when a horse goes in all by himself, is different than when a horse is out in the true wild. And, you know, there's many other horses out there. So they act quite differently on a true trail ride. So the first day was a true trail ride. The second day, they had compulsories. So we had a beautiful obstacle garden set up in a natural setting. They had to, again, cross a rock bridge, but this time it was in the water. So they were, it was quite, you know, quite the challenge. and, you know, you saw some horses that were just wonderful at it, and some horses, you know, carefully placed their feet, and then some horses said, "How fast can I get through this?" And then some horses said, "I ain't going."
so there'll be some good TV footage coming up.
You know, so they had a little log jump that they had to do, and we had flowers placed all around the course. It almost looked, you know, like an eventing course, because it was so well landscaped and in such a beautiful, beautiful setting. They had to back up a hill. They had to cross a stream that was a little bit on the muddy side, you know, a little boggy. Then they had to trot through some logs, kind of set like cavalettis, but set at uneven distances and things like that, and, you know, flowers all around. And then they had to do a straddle stop, which is a really cool obstacle because it really tests the feel of the rider for his horse. They had to maintain forward motion at a trot. This doesn't look hard, but really it's not that easy to do. They had to maintain forward motion at the trot, and when the horse's front feet crossed a log, they had to stop. So, I mean, this horse had to have pinpoint precision stopping. And the rider had to have a great feel for, you know, the fact that his horse had picked up his front legs and know, you know, when to put on the whoa. But they all, you know, most of them did it very well. There were some just fabulous, fabulous competitors out there.
So what kind of breeds did you see, Terry? I know we had 100 of the top horses, but were there a lot of different breeds there?
You know, there were so many different breeds. We had everything from a draft horse, cross grade horse, to Peruvian Pasos, you know, to the Spanish breeds. We had a Lipizzan. We had, of course, the quarter horses, the paints were well represented. And, you know, it just was kind of across the board. Mustangs were there, you know. So, you know, it was really with the American Competitive Trail Horse, there is no breed that is favored. Like, you know.
Yeah, there was a guy, I remember there was a guy with a mule that was doing very well in your ACTA ride.
Right, and yes, there were some absolutely gorgeous mules at America's Favorite Trail Horse. That, you know, had made it to the competition, some really, really big, beautiful mules. So, yes, well, mules were not left out. I mean, they
were. Well, Carrie, does the show work like other reality shows where a certain number of people get eliminated each week and then you get down to one?
No, not quite.
Okay.
It didn't work quite. Well, it will in the voting. To finish, the last day of the competition was we did the compulsories, and then the last day was a freestyle where the competitors got to come in to the obstacle garden and show whatever they wanted to show. So they could redo obstacles, or they could be creative. They just got some time in front of the camera. So they got to do a freestyle, and they came up with some pretty creative things. But, yes, what will happen when the voting starts to happen, it will be a lot like, you know, what you see on American Idol or something, to where America is going to vote and pick out the people with the highest scores will come to the finals. And then America
and
will get the vote.
Well, you had some very, very famous clinicians there to help them out, too, and to give them some guidance in the competition there at the end, too, didn't you?
I can't tell you how wonderful the clinicians were. they were so enthusiastic. They were so behind these competitors. We had Lynn Palm. She was just a wonderful asset. You know, well, they were all, every single one of them was. We had, Linda and Pat Pirelli were there, Monty Roberts. I don't want to mention everybody because I know I will forget someone. but, you know, the most outstanding clinicians in the United States were there, and they coached, you know, kind of like on American Idol. They were there to kind of review the performances and tell the competitors how they could, you know, improve for their next performance and, what they saw, what they liked, what they didn't like. And, to get to ride in front of people like that, I mean, boy, I wish I'd had the opportunity to do it.
I mean,
it was the opportunity of a lifetime. And I think the competitors had so much fun. They were cheering, and I think it really was an opportunity of a lifetime to be there and to have world-class clinicians, you know, to help encourage them and cheer them on and
exactly.
Give them their opinion.
Oh, yeah. And I think, Carrie, what I really enjoyed when I was there, the clinicians went out and they coached the contestants. But, you know, in their spare time where they weren't coaching, they actually came into the lecture hall and they gave lectures about what they had learned and training your horse. And I got some amazing speeches from Barbara Schulte, Monty Roberts, Pirelli. They shared very personal accounts and stories, and Patty Colbert from the Mustang Heritage Foundation. And that's really what I enjoyed a lot, to be able to sit in a hall and listen to these clinicians talk to you on a personal one-on-one, you know, kind of almost setting. And I think that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a lot of these competitors.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, here you were, you know, I mean, the clinicians were just readily available. And then, you know, Guy McLean, when he performed and when he did his poetry story about Australia and the fire, I mean, it was just unbelievable. and here were these clinicians, you know, sitting around having breakfast with everybody. And then, of course, there were times when the competitors were off and they could attend, you know, lectures and clinics, you know, with the clinicians. And just to be so up close and personal, to have these clinicians standing next to you, patting your horse and saying, you know, I love the way you did, you know, obstacles, so-and-so.
Cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then all the things they discussed from their own personal lives and, it was a phenomenal experience. I was working so hard, it was hard to, and I, as I know you were, Tammy, to get to all the things and, you know, appreciate everything that was happening. But it was all happening, and it was quite the event. I mean, I've been around horses, you know, I'm kind of a old person, and I've been around horses my entire life, and I was just honored to be there. I mean, just, I was awestruck to...
That's going to be great. And that starts, Glenn, September the 13th on HRTV. It's going to be on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. So everyone needs to tune into HRTV, and you can vote for your favorite trail horse. And I think voting stays open for 48 hours after each episode airs. So
I will say this, Tammy, if you don't get HRTV, like we don't, if you don't get HRTV locally, you can get it online. I think there's a small fee to subscribe to them monthly. But that gets you all their programming, and then you can also watch it online.
Yeah, and you can go to acsa.tv. Glenn, they're going to have it there. And, you know, if you switch to Dish right now, you can get a $50 ACTA gift certificate. So if you don't have HRTV, now's the best time to get it.
Right. And that's the Dish Network you're talking about?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Yep. Dish is
cool.
Going to give you a $50 ACTA gift certificate, so you can go and do your own competitive trial challenge.
All right, cool. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Jennifer has posted a link to it as well on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. And, Carrie, we appreciate you getting up early and joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie.
Great.
Right, thanks,
have a
Carrie.
Great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this half an hour is sponsored by Horseshow.com. At Horseshow.com, you can now compete online just like you were at a regular horse show. Get judged by the top judges and get the judges' comments right there. You just submit your video. You upload your home video and enter a class online at Horseshow.com. It's simple and an economic way for you to compete with your horse from home. It's also a great way to prepare for your next show or track your progress during the off-season. Horseshow.com features real horse shows for multiple breeds and disciplines judged by nationally accredited judges. You just upload your video, enter, and win anytime at Horseshow.com. Have you ever heard of Horseshow.com, Tammy?
No, but after listening to you, I'm so excited, Glenn. Do you think they'll accept a shooting video?
I don't know about shooting, but they
Tammy,
are going to.
You could be the judge.
Yes, there you go.
You could judge that? They need to have a new class. I can see it now. They're going to have the.
I know.
Yeah,
I want a ribbon.
Cool.
Do I get a ribbon? I love
Tammy's
ribbons.
Tammy's all about
right?
winning things. Tammy, but what's really cool is they are going to have some Western classes coming up. That's where they're trying to get into Western classes before the end of the year. I don't know shooting because it's more speed and not so subjective, but, you know, some of those other Western classes are very subjective, and
yeah.
they're going to – and what's really cool is they're going to have classes just like you would at a horse show. You submit your video, you compete against other people all across the country, and what's even cooler is they're actually having cash prizes on these things. So
really?
You can win. Yeah,
no,
you can win. You can
I've
win
got,
cash.
I've got how they can do shooting. You know how in dressage they've created the suitability classes and equitation classes to expand what's available at dressage shows because it's hello, it's dressage. Well, they could have suitability classes, a suitability to become a shooting horse class, and that would be subjective so that she could judge it. Because I want to see all the redneck Americans who have no clue what they're doing trying to shoot.
You just
got to
watch the Western Channel on TV for that.
You know what? Suitability classes for shooting, though, are one thing. If you shoot and the horse runs away and bolts, you'll know it's not suitable. So
suitability is for one time only.
There's going to be a rash of Craigslist ads about 18 months from now of horses for sale missing half an ear.
Yes.
Deaf.
Deaf horses. There you go.
All right. So let's stop torturing horses with gunshots. And thank you to Horseshow.com for being our sponsor on Thursday. Now we're going to try and go to our next guest and hope this works out a little better than it did yesterday sound-wise. But we have Kalina, who is on the line from Horse Junkies United, live from Burley, the Burley Horse Trials in England. And we're hoping this works out better. Hello, Kalina.
Hello. Can you hear me a little bit better today?
A little bit better.
That's a tiny bit better.
We need to, before you head overseas next time, I'm sending you a new headset, okay?
That would be great, sure. Yeah, we'll be well set up then.
Well, tell us now, yesterday you were at the Burley Horse Trials, and they had the jog, and today you started into dressage. So what's going on over there?
Yeah, so we just finished the morning dressage session. Yesterday we went to the jog. It was yesterday afternoon. And fortunately, everyone jogged up well. And despite a few tense moments, there's always, you know, a couple of horses that have to jog a second time or get held. But fortunately, everyone ultimately passed. And I have to say, the Canadian U.S. riders looked great, especially I think the Canadian girls were well decked out and looked fabulous. You know, the guys have sort of fewer options. They don't get to wear dresses and skirts and, you know, high boots. They tend to just wear suits. But there are definitely many snappy dressers there as well. And yeah, we sort of did a top 10 list with photos on the blog if anyone wants to check that out. It featured a number of good outfits. And then as for this morning, it was a good morning of dressage. Probably the most unfortunate thing this morning is that Will Coleman and Twizzle had to withdraw. I guess they were warming up and something just wasn't quite right with Twizzle. So Will made the hard but right decision to withdraw and go back to the barn and see what's wrong with them. So it's very unfortunate. Obviously, he's come a long way all the way from the U.S. and to trot up and be ready to go and have something like that happen, I mean, frankly, minutes before he went into the ring, is quite heartbreaking. But apart from that, everyone else seemed to have good rides. I mean, there was some excitement. You know, some of the horses try and add flying lead changes where there should be no flying lead change.
That doesn't add extra points, by the way.
No, it really doesn't. No. In fact, quite the opposite. And everyone sort of has a few bobbles. You know, even William Foxfit, who's leading after the morning, he's on a 37.9. He actually would have had a 37 if he hadn't halted at the wrong place. So even, top riders having really good tests are not immune from little bobbles that can hurt their score. And Andrew Nicholson is in second, and Mary King is in third. So certainly the top three are, well-known and excellent riders. On a Canadian note, Holly Bennett went this morning, and she has a 58, and so she is in 15th, which is good. I mean, there's a couple of little bobbles in her test. Ginny seemed to, get a little excited and sort of wanted to add her own interpretation to things as well. But by and large, I think, Holly should be happy with the test. It was accurate and had some lovely, lovely trot work. So that's it in terms of North American riders this morning. Will, unfortunately, had to withdraw, but we'll have Boyd Martin and Colleen Rutledge this afternoon from the U.S., and the rest of the Canadians go tomorrow.
Now, was there a trend getting back to the jog yesterday? And to explain that to people who don't know, a jog in eventing is where it's the vet check, where they check the horses out. But it's a very formal thing. The riders get all dressed up. They spiffy up the horses. And it's just a very formal, fun thing that's really become a thing in eventing. So was there a trend in clothing this year at the jog?
I think, we're in the UK, so I think you saw a lot of sort of British-inspired outfits. In particular, Georgie Spence is wearing sort of a baby blue shad belly style jacket and a kilt, which was very neat. And there was also a number of people wearing, jackets that sort of had the tweed, styling. Yeah, so just some neat outfits like that. Oliver Townend, looked great in a suit and khaki pants. He had a suit jacket and khaki pants. Kitty King, who's a young rider in the UK, had a really neat tweed pink and blue jacket, so it was sort of a twist on a traditional jacket. And then Jesse Phoenix from Canada had a really nice silver and black dress that was,
I saw pictures of Jesse, and she looked really good.
Yeah, she looked fabulous. It was nice, especially since her horse Tucker has, he's a nice dark bay, so kind of nice pop against his dark coat. But, yeah, I mean, everyone looked fabulous. Sinead Halpin had a nice polka dot dress and some brown boots that sort of matched her horse. So, yeah, no, everyone looked really great. I'm not really sure there was, a theme, but certainly there was a lot of UK-style outfits.
And how's the weather been, and how is it looking for the weekend?
The weather's fabulous so far, knock wood. Yesterday was lovely, a little bit overcast, but I don't mind that. I find it makes for better pictures. And today, actually, is quite sunny. People are having to wear, sun hats. I think people almost have to put on sunscreen. So it's not the typical British weather so far.
And, Kalina, is this your first time in England?
No, actually, I was fortunate enough to come to Burley about 4 years ago. I was just sort of in the UK by happenstance, so I came to Cross Country Day. But this is the first time that I've been here for the whole event, start to finish.
And, there were lots of comments on our Facebook page yesterday about the house there at Burley, the Burley House. And it is open to the public for tours other times of the year, but I believe they close it during the competition just because of the number of people that show up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a zoo here by the time you add in, spectators, officials, the trade fair, everything else. So they do close the house down, but it's open the rest of the year for tours, and I understand it's quite lovely. I'm certainly from the outside. It's just stunning. You can see the horses, packing up to dressage with the house in the background is really lovely.
And speaking of shopping and trade fairs, have you spent all your money yet?
I have not even walked into one shop yet. That's certainly on the agenda for some point. And hopefully I'll be able to keep some of my money in my bank account, but I expect I'll come back with a few things. You know, just especially you can get some different stuff here that you wouldn't be able to get in North America.
You know, it's a little different over there in England when it comes to eventing. Eventing is a huge deal in England, and that's with people who ride and don't ride. Here in the United States, the Rolex is our comparable event, and we'll get 40, 50,000 people, but most of them are riders and horsemen. Over there, everybody shows up. You'll get a couple hundred thousand people coming out to this.
Well, yeah, apparently they'll get somewhere in the range of 200,000 people. Yeah, it's huge. I mean, there's people everywhere. People are knowledgeable about it. You can have a chat with people about, you know, a particular horse, and someone will say, well, I remember when that horse was going novice and it had these issues. I overheard a conversation about that this morning. It's really just a part of the culture here, and the eventing fan base is just really, really large. And it's nice to be over here because you can, you know, talk to just about anyone in the area, and they know what Furley is, even if they, you know, aren't necessarily, you know, diehard eventers, but they're certainly aware. Whereas, you know, even if you're in Lexington during Rolex, you know, not everyone knows what Rolex is. So it's a nice change of pace.
And the British riders over there are rock stars. They are rock stars.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Oliver Townen walks around, and there's always sort of a little bit of an entourage, sort of tracking his movements, and same goes for, I think, William Foxpit and Mary King. Yeah, they have, you know, huge fan bases, which is, you know, sort of nice to see, but at the same time, they're lovely and very approachable, and, you know, always say, you know, hello if you cross by them, you know, in the hacking pass, and they're just lovely.
And I always liked it when I had to try and find William Foxpit, because he's about 8 foot tall, and he just stands above everybody else, and he's very easy to find in a crowd.
And it's actually, he's even taller when he's wearing his top hat in dressage. He looks about 8 feet tall when he's on his horse and wearing that top hat. It's quite a sight to see.
Now, did you guys get to go out on the town in London, or go out in the town in England, rather, last night, or were you too tired?
We didn't actually get back to the hotel until probably 8:30. So by then, and we still had photos to edit and that sort of thing. So, no, we were pretty focused on getting pictures and getting stuff done.
So you weren't in the pub last night?
No, but we went out the night before that and sort of took a wander around Peterborough, which is where we're staying. It's about 20 minutes from the event site, and it's a lovely, lovely town with a very nice square with some old historic buildings and a church. So it's, you know, very British.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. Are you joining us again tomorrow morning? And you'll be in the second day of dressage then, right?
That's right, yes.
And I assume by then we'll have seen a lot of the American and Canadian riders go, and you'll be able to talk about them a little bit.
Yeah, we'll have seen certainly Boyd Martin and Colleen Rutledge, two American riders that will go later today. And Jessica Scenic goes tomorrow morning, as does Michael Pollard. So I think by the time we chat with you again, we'll have seen pretty much all the North American riders. Because, yeah, Kyle Carter goes tomorrow morning as well, as does Sinead Halpin. So, yeah. By the next time we chat, we will have seen all the North American contingent do dressage.
Oh, great. Well, I'm looking forward to that report. If you can corner Jessica to join you, we'd love that, because, you know, we follow her here on the show. She's been on the show many times. So there's your assignment.
Yeah, we will do our absolute very best.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, both of you. And that's Jennifer did a link up, actually, to your top 10 pick. It's Horse Junkies United. And is it horsejunkiesunited.com?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Kalina. This was a much better connection today.
Okay, I'm great. Thanks. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bye, guys. Have fun.
Bye.
There we go. That was a good report.
Wow, Glenn.
I know. Live from England.
That sounds fun.
You guys don't even have that in the Western show. You don't get live calls from England.
We definitely don't get dressed up to jog our horses.
You do. You wear big belt buckles, shiny belt buckles, fancy boots, and cowboy hats. You get all dressed up.
But we don't care what someone else wears.
That's true. That's a big deal,
Glenn,
though.
Remember when we were at, was it Rolex? We were chit-chatting with some of the Rainers because they had to do a jog out because it was an FEI competition.
That's
and they
right.
don't normally do jogs at reining competitions. And we had this great conversation about how cool the jog is. It's a spectator sport.
They thought that, hey, actually, some of these old reiners, the Tom McCutcheons of the world, thought it was pretty cool. They thought it was that maybe they should start to dress up it for their little jogs and make it more of a spectacle.
Ah, crossing the line over. Wow, go Western world.
You could wear, Tammy, you could wear your cowboy hat. Tammy has the most unusual cowboy hats in the world. And she has a cowboy hat that actually has guns on it, right?
I do. J.W. Brooks Custom Hats made me some hats. And one of them, I've got a work hat and I have a fun hat, Glenn. My work hat has some embroidered stars and crystals. It's fairly subdued, you know. And my fun hat is black with it's got crystal pistols along the side, and it's my fun hat. So
it's very
it all depends on the task. But yeah, they are wonderful. I mean, they really are the best hats that I've ever seen. They're very individual. If you want something custom that says, "Hey, look at me, I have a personality and maybe a little attitude," perfect hat.
But I got to tell you, when you see Tammy's hat and you see the guns on it, you know not to fool with her. You just walk away.
I don't wear it at work because I don't think it's appropriate.
I don't wear
it to church. Well, actually, you know what? I think I've worn my pistol hat to church before, Glenn.
Yeah, but you go to like a cowboy church, don't you?
That's because everything in Texas is cool. Yep, my church has a horse arena, and we have play days and practices at night, and we have a not so extreme cowboy race.
Now, do I remember something about? Maybe I'm not allowed to talk about this, and you can tell me to shut up. But we're live, so keep that in mind. am I allowed to talk about the Cowgirl Hall of Fame thing?
Oh yeah.
So I'm trying to remember exactly because this was like a month ago that were you nominated for the Cowgirl Hall of Fame?
I was. Yep. And it like they work years in advance, so I probably won't know for about a year. But yeah, my nomination went in for my my journey from Australia to win the world a few times. So I was excited about that, and
you
know, it's going to be hard to write.
You're in there with some pretty big legends in the cowgirl world.
Well, yeah, it'll take a year to kind of find out what they do with my nomination and stuff. So I'm just kind of sit back and relax. And my friend, Deb Safferny, put it in. So that kind of corresponding with her. So that's going to be exciting.
Usually you have to be dead or almost dead to be nominated. So that's pretty special when you're young like you are to be nominated for the Cowgirl Hall of Fame.
I'm feeling older, Glenn. What, am I 34 now? So
yeah, that's a long way from. That's a long way from most of the women that are in the Cowgirl Hall of Fame, you have to admit.
Do you get free coffee, Glenn? That's kind of a telltale sign, you know.
You're going to get discounts. You're going to get senior citizen discounts when you go now.
Put me in the senior class for the mounted tuning now.
That's funny. And, you know, you are. There are some really big names in the Cowgirl Hall of Fame. And, I think it's a special honor to be nominated. And, you know, I hope you make it. That'll be kind of cool to have an Aussie in there.
I know, yeah. And I'll keep you in track what I hear from them. So I'm excited. And really, just like you said, I mean, there's an amazing group of cowgirls in there. So, you know, just to have a nomination in is pretty special for me.
Cool. Well, congratulations for that. And, you know, you talk about Texas, and I thought there's only one song that fits today, and it is by a friend of yours, somebody that you've had on the Western Radio Show. But he wrote a song specifically for you, Tammy, and it's called Only in Texas by Dan Roberts from oldbootsmusic.com. So this is just for you, Tammy.
Aw.
Boot wearing calf, roping cattle, ranching gate, open buckle wearing barbecue and beer, drinking pig ropes and hay baling, friendly driving fiddle, playing son of a gun. Double hocking steer, tripping washer, pitching cow, tipping snakes, shooting jukeboxing, honky tonking, haggard looking church, going W voting proud. Where they're from? In Texas,
only in Texas. There's pride in the eyes of the ones who wear that brand. 'Cause it's a whole nother country between the Red and the Rio Grande. Yeah, we got it all, only in Texas. Bustin' bull, riding trail, dustin' barrel, racing bull, logging hats, stetching boots, justin' rodeo and wrangler, wearing spur, jingling real cowhands. Beef eating, cattle grazing, two-stepping steer, hazing, chip kicking, chili cooking, Lone Star appreciation, pistol packing deer, tracking Alamo, remembering land. Yeah, Texas, only in Texas. There's pride in the eyes of the ones who wear that brand. 'Cause it's a whole nother country between the Red and the Rio Grande. And we've got it all, only in Texas. Hey, we got it all, y'all, only in Texas.
There you go, Tammy. Just for you.
You know what? I wasn't even born here, and I love Texas, Glenn.
I can tell. I listen to the Western Radio Show every week, and you bust Alan on it enough because he lives in some like non-southern state like the Carolinas.
Yeah, he lives somewhere over there. If it's not in Texas, it doesn't matter.
And he likes to bust on Texas a lot. But you know what? If you're gonna do what you do, you almost have to be in Texas, don't you?
I do. It's Western, and you know what's fun about Texas is there's always something going on at Rogers Coliseum in Fort Worth, or there's, you know, the Cowgirl Museum, and or there's a rodeo, or there is the biggest horse shopping place. Have you been to Teskey's, Glenn?
No.
Teskey's is in Weatherford, Texas, and I am not kidding you. It is like the Walmart tack stores. It's huge. They have shopping carts and they have thousands of saddles. Anything you could want for your horse is at Teskey's.
And I bet you there's no dressage saddles in the whole store, is there?
There is a dressage section. They have saddles.
Wow.
They have a cafe. They have clothing places.
Jennifer,
so,
I'm surprised Jennifer hasn't checked in yet saying, oh, I know where our next trip is.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to send you a picture when I go to Teskey's, Glenn, just so you can see. I mean, you have no idea how huge this place is, but either take someone else's credit card or only put a couple of $100 in your pocket because it's expensive there because, you know, it's like Walmart. You can't go in and just buy one thing. You can't go to Teskey's and buy one thing, you know?
Well, then, of course, everybody in Texas, you guys just had on a guest from the very famous truck stop there in Texas with the big steaks, and you guys are obviously known for barbecue and steaks and all the good food there as well.
There was. You know, I was driving back from looking at a horse for sale two nights ago, Glenn, and I was driving through Fort Worth, and I saw this billboard, and it was for a weight loss, and it said on the bottom of the picture of a bigger person, it said, "Everything doesn't have to be bigger in Texas." I thought that was pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
So, most things in Texas are bigger, but not everything has to be.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about a special project that you have going on, too. But before we do that, I wanted to mention that you had a good guest. You had a very special guest on the show this week, didn't you?
Remind me, Glenn.
You had Lynn Palm on this week.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And you know what? I almost felt a little sorry for Lynn Palm when she came on the show because Alan and I hit her with questions from both sides. It was like his turn and then my turn. It was like tag team questions for Lynn, and she was amazing to talk to.
Yeah, it was a good interview. I really enjoyed it. And Lynn's tough sometimes because she gets on message and won't come off of message, but you guys got her talking about her growing up, and it was a very personal interview, and I congratulate you for that. She's very nice. I've met her several times, and we've had her on our show, but you guys did a great job with that interview.
Yeah, we did. You know, I met Lynn in person at America's Favorite Trial Horse, the TV show for HRTV, and she was just so real, and so she was just one of everybody else. I mean, she's special just from what she's accomplished. I think she has 34 world and reserve world championships, but she'd sit down and have supper with you and chat with you about how she felt and how she wanted to win and how she grew up with those horses. And I just really enjoyed talking to her a lot. And it's so, I love talking to people that have won other stuff like world championships, like I have with my shooting, because I really want to learn how do they think and what keeps them motivated and what works for them. So I really enjoy, you know, speaking to people like Lynn Palm.
Well, you did a great job. Congratulations for that. Well, everybody, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. I am here with Tammy Sarance. If you're tuning in late and wondering where Janie is, she is off today getting moved officially into her house. She'll be back tomorrow for really bad ads. And, of course, today's show is sponsored by HorseShow.com. We appreciate you being here. And, you know, I wanted to talk to Tammy about something special that she just started a little bit ago. But, boy, when you talk about this, you hear the passion come out. And I want you to tell us about that special project you're working on.
You know, this special project came about at America's Favorite Trial Horse again, Glenn, so it's kind of good to bring it all together. We were sitting there, and Monty Roberts gave a speech about horses and how the relationships with horses can help people. And a lady called Betsy Bigsby stood up, and she said, I want to do something like this. And she sent an email out. And I responded to Betsy. Now Betsy and I work together, and we run Freedom Horses, which is a nonprofit. And what we do is we take women who have suffered sexual assault, domestic violence, or another violent crime, and we don't actually take the girls in crisis. There's a crisis center in Weatherford, Texas here that helps the girls, you know, get in a good situation. And when they are and they're ready to heal, we bring them out and we let them work with the horses. We do a lot of groundwork, a lot of grooming. And I'm teaching them how to ride. So sometimes I'll get a girl out individually. Sometimes it's good for them to work in pairs. Or we have a little group session. We had a pizza party out here at the barn. But, you know, it's not a counseling session. They are out here to forget everything and really focus and learn how to read horses and build relationships again, starting with horses. And I knew it was going to be rewarding, Glenn, but to watch those girls laugh and smile, and they don't, their bodies don't hurt. They ride. The horse is the most noble of beings. And it sounds kind of corny to say that, but the power that a horse has to help someone's heart is and you don't even have to do anything. You know, they just have to work with these horses, and they work with my shooting horses, so they are very, very gentle, and I know they're not going to get put in a situation where they would get hurt or anything would happen to them. I really look after these girls, and I chat to them. You know, we go for a little trial ride when we're done training, and sometimes we do chat about life, and I just really want to inspire them to be better people and build relationships again and kind of just take a break from what they're going through. So it has been amazing for me, Glenn.
You know, we obviously horses are used in therapy, you know, all over the world all the time, but it is neat when you yourself get to be part of that. Now, I you said something that struck me. You know, I thought about it too. When you go to Disney World or Disneyland, when you walk in those gates, you really forget about that life even exists. And that sort of happens at the farm too, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, a real cool thing happened just 2 days ago out here. I've had a girl who has been out for probably 2 or 3 riding lessons and was really starting to, I taught her how to put boots on and how to bridle and saddle. And there was a new girl who came with her, and I make them put the sport boots on the horses to protect their legs. And the new girl was having trouble. So the girl who had been there a couple of times, I went over to help. And then I saw that the girl had came out a couple of times, actually had the boots and was teaching another girl how to put the boots on correctly. And I left them alone. And I thought maybe that would be good for them to work together. And the counselor said when she was driving them back, they talked, and they said, you know,
that's the first time I've accepted help from someone. And the other girl turned around and she said, that's the first time I've offered to help somebody. And they've learned teamwork together, and now they're friends, and they're going to go off to church together and see each other out of the program. But, you know, just something simple like that, Glenn, that's a huge accomplishment for these girls. And that's what horses do for them, and that horses give you an unbelievable sense of confidence. And that's what we try to do with these girls. We've got to change them to I can't do this to I can do this. And it's a phenomenal program, and it's called Freedom Horses. We are on Facebook, and we don't have a website yet. The website's going to be freedomhorses.org, but all the information is on our Facebook. If you just go to Facebook and type in Freedom Horses, press like, and we'll keep you updated with some pictures and a little more information for everybody. But we're just getting started. We are a nonprofit. We've received no funds right now. We're all a bunch of horse-loving volunteers. So we are looking for sponsors. But really, it's just, I knew this was going to be rewarding. And there's only so many buckles you can have on your wall, Glenn, and until it doesn't matter anymore, you know. And when I take my shooting horse, I actually let one of the Freedom Horse riders ride my world champion shooting horse and take him through some trail obstacles. And she took him for a walk. And I really never let anyone on that world champion horse of mine.
I was just going to say, let's clarify, too, that you don't let anybody ride him.
I don't let anyone lead that horse, brush that horse, wash that horse. I let my farrier put shoes on the horse. But I'm very protective, and I sat there and I watched that girl laugh and ride him around, and I thought, you know, if someone had told me, you know, 3 or 4 years ago this world champion timed event horse would have his head down in a snaffle, you know, leading this girl that can't ride through these little fun trail obstacles, I don't know if I would have believed it. So I would get mad when anyone touched him. So I'm kind of breaking down some barriers a little bit, and that's what it's about, you know. I'm just excited that I can use my horse talents and my horses for a higher cause, you know.
You know, for a lot of years I taught, and they always say when you teach, you learn more than your kids, and that is true, isn't it? You get more out of it, and you learn more than your kids, and you probably even see that when you're teaching mm-hmm. your sport. You know, it's the same way. You're the one that benefits the most.
It is, and I read a really nice quote last night, and it was the biggest thing to show people how to be kind is to be kind yourself. And when they came out and they done that first lesson, you know, I kind of thought to myself inside, Glenn, I thought, well, you know, this will be a good program, and I'll give some free riding lessons, and it'll be rewarding for me. But when those first girls left and they laughed like they hadn't laughed before, and they had a great time with those horses, when that car drove down my driveway to head back home to the crisis center, I sat on that park bench and I almost cried, because I'm like, you know, you can't describe that. You can't describe the gratitude and the reward that you feel in your heart for sharing your world with someone who needs it. And that's what matters, you know.
So does this mean you're going to stop being so obsessively compulsive about winning everything you ever have done and do?
No, because I've got another marathon I'm running Saturday. And I want a medal, and I want a ribbon.
Tammy took up, like, she didn't have enough to do in her life. She goes to school. She works full time. She does shows for us. She's a competitive shooter. And then she decided to take up running.
Well, you know, I'm always up for a new challenge, Glenn. And you know how this started? I was at college doing a kinesiology course, and my professor measured my knees and my elbows and my everything, and I thought, and you know, I'm kind of a straight A student, Glenn, and I was going to get a good grade in this class, so I thought, you know, I'm not going to be fatter at the end of this semester. I'm going to run and run and run and run. So I got an A in the class, but I kept running, because at the first run I went to, I said, Tam, I was sitting at the start line, and there was all these fit, you know, I look like a couch potato, and there's all these Olympic looking people there, and I said, Tammy, don't get obsessive about this. This is for fun. You know, and that lasted like one run, Glenn. Because when they gave out the medals, my name wasn't called, I was mad.
She calls me up and says, I'm mad. I said, about what? She said, I did my fun run, and it wasn't fun at the end because I didn't win anything. I said, that's not supposed to be the way you're looking at this, Amy.
I've came fourth three times, Glenn. One out the medals, one out the medals, one out the... Someone said, Tammy, now you feel like all those shooters who you beat every week. How does it feel?
Exactly. Now you know how they feel when they have to run against you. You know, you're that person at the shows. You know that, don't you? You're that person. That person that when we pull into the showgrounds and you back up the trailer and you look over and you see your freaking trailer there, they go, damn, Tammy's here again. You're that person.
But you know what, Glenn? I'm not that person at the runs because people probably look at me and be like, son, I can take her.
So what are you up to? You used to do 5-mile runs. I assume you're doing like 50-mile cross-country runs by now.
Yeah, there's 5 miles and there's some 10Ks and stuff that I'm kind of getting interested in. So, you know, I was kind of surprised myself because I couldn't run down to the – well, I call it the letterbox. It's Australian for mailbox, but – I would run down there on the ranch, and I could make it one lap, you know, around the ranch. And now I can run for an hour and not stop, you know.
Wow, look at you, and you have lost a ton of weight.
Nothing like a little OCD to help your fitness plan along.
There you go. So if you're looking to lose weight, if you're feeling a little couch potato like Tammy, all you need to do is develop OCD and become an obsessive compulsive runner.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, you know what I do want to tell people, Glenn? Because when I showed up at my first 5K, I was like a wet cat. I didn't belong there. I was so far out of my comfort zone. It wasn't funny. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be coming across the finish line, and they're going to be taking it down. That's how slow I'm going to be. But what I can say is, you know, you don't have to train for a 5K. It doesn't take you that long. You can get through it. You get a free T-shirt. You know, that's cool. So you can do it. And I keep my numbers. Whenever I finish my racing numbers, Glenn, I hang them on my wall, kind of like a trophy that I've conquered it. So,
you know, pre-Jennifer, I actually did run and did some 5Ks pre-Jennifer.
Please.
And yeah, and you know what? I just hated every step I took. I just didn't enjoy it at all, ever.
Well, you know what? I hate to run too. But when I finish it, I just feel a sense of accomplishment. So, you know, I do hate it, Glenn. But, you know, one of those things that you hate doing, but when you get done, you feel better? Because people say to me, gosh, Tammy, I hate to run. I don't know how you do it. And I said, you know what? I hate to run too.
You hate getting started. It's
the first
step. It's kind of like people who don't ride because they talk themselves out of it every time. It's like, oh, I just don't have time. The runner has to get the sneakers on and you get 5 steps out the door, then it's good. But it's like, I have to get started.
Well, that's true. You're right, Jennifer. That's true of riding, too, because there's a lot of times you go out to the barn and you go, I just don't feel like this today. If you actually get through the brushing and the putting on the tack, once you get in the saddle, it changes at that point.
Mm-hmm. You brush, Glenn?
I do. I'm a great groomer.
Glenn is an excellent groomer.
It's one of my best things.
Grooming
is... Yeah, I know. People in Texas don't groom. I know. Do you even own a brush?
You know what? I actually ordered some brushes with a Freedom Horse logo for the girls on it so they could have their own Freedom brushes in the barn. So, yeah, I have brushes now. And it's a little order, all in a little bucket for the girls so they can find it. The girls kind of changed the makeup of my barn a little bit, Glenn.
Now, do
it's
you ever brush outside of the saddle area, Tammy?
You know what? Freedom Horse is not only helping the girls, Glenn, it's helping me because... I make them brush the horses a lot and paint their feet and pick their feet out and put show sheen on their manes and tails. And when they do it, I'm doing it to handsome. So I sat there and I really enjoy it. So the girls got me brushing.
When I finally get out to do it, I find it very soothing and it's very relaxing. If you're not rushed, it's sort of like cooking. If you're not rushed, cooking can be fun.
Don't even bring up cooking, Glenn. That is a brand new show because I even broke my microwave the other day. That's how bad a cook I am.
Did you put metal in it?
No, I didn't put metal in it. But see, a long story really short, Glenn. The little, you know, the little glass plate that you put in that's in the microwave that turns?
Yeah.
It had came off its little wheelie things that go round, you know. And I thought, well, you know, the whole thing gets hot. I don't need to fix it. I just throw a microwave dinner in there and I'll kind of throw it in the middle and it doesn't need to turn. Okay. So this went on for probably a month and I didn't put the little glass filling back on the rollers, which, you know, my bad. So anyway, I'm cooking something and I hear this crack in the microwave and I open it up. I smashed the glass thing. It couldn't take that much being... So the moral of the story is
it didn't occur to you that they put the rollies there for a reason.
Come on, it was cooking fine. I didn't see a reason to fix it.
You're such a horse girl.
Don't ever let Tammy borrow our car.
You know, she is nominated for the Cowgirl Hall of Fame, not the Chef Hall of Fame.
That's
There's
true.
A reason for that. You know, when I met Tammy and met her for the first time in person, she had your rig along with your big fancy trailer and your living quarters and everything. And she says, come in and see my living quarters. She said, I want to show you my guns. And she starts pulling guns out from everywhere. I mean, everywhere, under the bed, in the cabinets. There were just guns everywhere. Then she opens up the refrigerator, and there's a gun in the refrigerator. There were no food. There's no food in the refrigerator. But there are ammunition and weapons in the refrigerator. No evidence of food anywhere.
Yeah, you know, I was flying to Reno to join Pirelli for a tour up there, Glenn. And I was going through getting some – actually, I do own some makeup, and I was going through my makeup case because I thought, you know, I don't think I want to take the whole big case. And thank God I didn't because, you know what, there was like 10 rounds of 45 caliber bullets in the bottom.
Oh,
I thought this girl had in their makeup case.
You must have to be really careful when you go to the airport to double-check everything.
Well, you know what? And actually, if you put ammo in the dryer, it doesn't explode. Because I've done that with my clothes in my pocket. And you think they would, but they don't, Glenn.
Good to know. Everybody has that problem, putting ammo in their dryer.
Well, I'm just letting you know. It's like a public service announcement for everybody. It's okay.
Yeah, we should clarify. You guys use blanks, but if you're within 10 feet of that blank, you're getting powder burns.
Yeah, and if you're within a foot, you're going to get burned. It's kind of like a shotgun shell. It doesn't have an actual projectile, so I know some people in the spectator seats get a little nervous because they're like, am I okay? And you are. It only goes 10 foot, and it is a specially loaded blank. So it's all safe.
I've been wanting to ask you since I've met you, how expensive is it? Because you're buying the ammunition all the time. I assume you don't load your own, so you're buying it. Is it really expensive?
I load my own.
Oh, do you load your own?
Yeah, I load my own practice rounds. And then if I'm getting ready for a competition, I'll shoot competition loads because I don't want to shoot a different round than what I compete with. But, yeah, but they are expensive. How expensive do you think they are, Shell, Glenn? We'll make a guess here.
I have no idea. I know you can buy 22 shells. You buy them for like $200 for 10 bucks.
No, these 45 blanks that we shoot, they cost 45 cents a shot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it hurts. I buy 1,000 for about $450.
Oh, my God. And you'll go through, how many will you go through in a practice session?
I don't practice as much as I should, Glenn.
But if you're just learning this sport, you're going to blow through some ammunition.
Yes, and then I go to Walmart and I buy, like, if I don't buy the bulk balloons in a box, I go to Walmart and I'll buy, like, 20 packets of balloons. And, like, I'm thinking the checkout person's looking at me thinking, aw, it's your kid's birthday. No.
No, I'm going to shoot these suckers. So it can be an expensive sport to get started in then. By the time you buy your guns, and you buy all that ammunition, and then you have to practice with all that ammunition. You got to do a lot of practicing.
You do. And you know, one of my students, he actually borrows my lesson horse every competition. And one of his friends was telling him, he's like, Rich, I don't understand why you really want your own horse, buddy, because if you can just borrow Tammy's, why do you you don't have to pay the feet, the teeth, the coggins, the health certificate, the travel. And he's like, just borrow the rest of your life. Don't buy. And his friend had a pretty good point there. So, but it does get expensive.
As we know, when you the cheapest part of buying a horse is buying a horse. It's always the cheapest part.
Oh, exactly. Yep.
Now, do you have any ambitions to do anything else in the horse world, or was shooting your thing and you really have no other ambitions to compete at any other discipline?
I would like to compete in reining. My Palomino lesson horse has some reining points, and, you know, not to sound all English on you, Glenn, but when I work with him and we do, you know, a lot of half pass and flying changes, and it's phenomenal. I love riding. There's nothing better than riding an educated horse. So I really do enjoy that higher level Western riding. Reining would be fun. So, but, you know, when you turn that barrel of that shooting pattern, Glenn, you drop your reins and you're stuck out on the side of that horse with a rifle and you actually hit everything, that's so awesome.
Now, you actually bought, and this is going to shock many people who know that you know, the Cowgirl-nominated Hall of Famer, that you actually bought yourself a dressage saddle. But the big question Jennifer and I have is, have you ever used it?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to send you all a picture. I have horselovers.com were so kind to give me an Isabel dressage saddle, and I actually let the Freedom Girls ride in it as well, but I ride it when I teach the Freedom Horse Girls. I use it for my lesson 2 days ago, Glenn. I wear my tall top Western boots, my jeans, my tank top, and my English saddle. That thing is like sitting in a couch. And it's soft on your, can I say butt, Glenn? I guess I just did.
Yeah, you can
it's
say butt. Butt's
butt.
A lot here.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's really comfortable, so I love that saddle. I probably ride in that saddle 3 times a week.
You know, so. I don't see Jennifer, I don't see reining in her future. I see a little dressage in her future.
I would like to do reining, and you know what else I would like to do? I would like to jump cross-country, Glenn. I really admire the people who do that, because that takes a lot of guts and a lot of confidence and a great horse to go and send them through those courses, and I think that's awesome.
You know, yeah, I think even you're bringing Alan around, and Alan has a little bit more respect for dressage now than he did when you first started.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, Alan always gives me grief about my Isabel saddle. He's like, oh, you're crossing the line, Tammy, come back.
Well, you're allowed to be bi. You can do both English and Western.
That just didn't sound right, Glenn.
Well, everybody, thank you so much, Tammy, for joining us today. We really appreciate you filling in for Jamie. I know Jamie appreciates you. She's trying to get her boxes unpacked, and apparently her internet is being hooked up at her new house today. So we will have her back tomorrow for Really Bad Ads Day. You want to join us tomorrow? Plus, Tammy, you don't even know about this, but we have a very, very exciting announcement that we're going to have somebody on to make tomorrow, and we are so excited about this. We're looking forward to it. It's kind of a first for the Horse Radio Network, so that'll be announced tomorrow, first thing in the show, so everybody's going to want to tune in and see what that is, and we can't wait to let the cat out of the bag and start talking about
it. Can you tell us a little bit, Glenn?
Nope, for the first time in my life, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And I know my wife is out now over there, just fall off her ball, because she can't believe that I'm actually keeping my mouth shut. So,
do I get an idea at all?
Nope. Tomorrow morning on the show, but I will be coming over to the Western show to talk about it a little bit and promote it. So we'll be over there to do that too. So. Tomorrow, we'll make the announcement first thing, and then we have another report from Burley, and then Really Bad Ads tomorrow. So you'll want to join us then. Thank you so much, Tammy. Where can everybody find your website?
I have a lot of websites. My shooting website is www.texasshootinghorses.com, and America's Favorite Trial Horse is www.acfa.us, and the Western Radio Show, westernradioshow.com.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much, Tammy. We appreciate you being here. Don't forget, everybody, you can find Tammy's show at horseradionetwork.com, and where you can find all of the shows. The driving show just came out today, and we did, you know, I know the Horses in the Morning listeners like fun stuff. Well, we did an interview with a guy on the driving radio show about the National Plowing Championship. Yes, there is a National Plowing Championship. And I actually had the guts to ask him. I said, you know, dressage I find boring, and most horse husbands find boring, but I imagine the National Plowing Championships can't be much of a spectator sport. And you'll hear his answer. So that's on the driving radio show, which is out right now at horseradionetwork.com. Thanks, Tammy. Say goodbye to everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Sammy. See you at Peelers, everybody. Guys.